Heavy, but I need you to turn it down.
Log Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without the fame, I'ma still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV. We in the rock or I'm VIP.
Sharp Cannon Kodak, Top Coat Cashmere, Will Camo Kojak, wrist and neck, drip drop, clip pop, hold that, Roman, hand up, stand up, know that, wasn't always rosé, click at, Viva, Miami for the weekend, eating, she ma, pull up, valet park car, be ma, remember being flat broke till I had Enoch, had to get my change up, like a flat tire side of the road, the right time with the right grind, climbing the roads, rock diamonds that glow, ice blinding the shows, heard like the slide in the hole, it's my way or the highway. Iron the toe, yes, I'm a pro. Press iron the foe. Talking what I walk, talk, never the foe, yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. It's just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Chick like who him? In the low bubble, trouble with the low brim. Running no huddle, double the score. Tom Brady, Mercedes, settle the floor. Won't settle with all. Middle finger to loss, parquet. Bread and butter, but I hunger for more. Look closer, I'm the one you tried to ignore. Mimosas, what I said, starting my mom. While these other niggas playing cute, playing the show. Be front, she can front if she want trust. Cause never will I change my course or rearrange my thoughts to be arranged in court for no dame. It's public. I'm no lame. Know how to get dough, get low, the flow flame. My desire is fire, saliva, propane. Q, turn it up. Flick, the bitch is always the same. Yeah. Big Chris Wallace, any night, take flight, St. Thomas, first class recliner, wine and empanadas, stay sky high, call the frequent flyer mileage, touchdown land, couple grand like Cuba, chick shirt cooler, something like Zamunda, blue water, white sand, Rona's in the cooler, cute Mr. Dos Equis, come correctly, chilling crushed linen, mocha loafers, Giuseppe's, huh, they told me that it can't be done, so why I'm feeling like a champion, thought you was fancy, huh, yes you drew like Nancy Dunn, shed a tip for every lap he run, real rap, cause on track, he L Cappy son. Hands out, can't hand you none. Guess it happens. Lights, camera, action. One, deuces.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. It's just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Good evening, Dons and Divas. I'm your host, Rich Money, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Before we get started, I want to take this time out and thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a great show. We had Sheila Cumberbatch with the GQ General Question. We had up-and-coming artist John Doe, and we played his smashing single, Angel Eyes. After John Doe, we had our special guest appearance, L.A. Sunshine from the Treacherous 3. Now, to hear last week's show, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's G-E-E-Q-U-E Palace, and check out the archives. Now, tonight, we have another amazing show for y'all. We have Elizabeth Maldonado with the GQ General Question. We have up-and-coming artist Chris Levinston with the, and we're going to be playing his smashing single, My Body, and finding out what's his next step in the music industry. After Chris, we have Diamond, CEO of Diamond Entertainment and Diva Squad. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with Elizabeth Maldonado and her GQ General Question. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Cut the music up. A little louder. Yeah. You had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck. Couldn't never figure out how to love. Last forever. Now you in a corner trying to put it together. How to love. How to love. For a second you were here. Now you over there. It's hard not to stare. The way you're moving your body like you never had a love. Never had a love. When you was just a youngin', your looks were so precious. But now you're grown up, so fly, it's like a blessing. But you can't have a man look at you for 5 seconds without you being insecure. You never credit yourself, so when you got older, it seems like you came back 10 times over. Now you're sitting here in this damn corner, looking through all your thoughts and looking over your shoulder. See, you had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck, couldn't never figure out how to love. Now you in the corner trying to put it together. How to love. How to love. For a second you were here. Now you over there. It's hard not to tell. The way you're moving your body like you never had a love. How to love. Oh, when you had a lot of dreams that transformed to visions. The fact that you saw the world affected all your decisions. But it wasn't your fault. Wasn't in your intentions to be the one here talking to me, be the one listening. But I admire your popping bottles and sipping just as much as you admire your bartender and the stripping, baby. So don't be mad, nobody else tripping. You seen a lot of crooks and them crooks still crooked. See, you had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck, couldn't never figure out how to love. How to love. Yeah.
Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have Elizabeth Maldonado. Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Hello, Elizabeth.
How are you?
And how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, I'm glad you took this time out to join us again.
I'm glad to be with you guys again.
Can't wait to hear your topic. But
I got a part one and I got a part two. Okay.
Well, would you like to tell listeners a little something about yourself for those that wasn't here the first time?
Not really. I don't have nothing new to say.
Okay. Well, you know, you got people that was here from before, and you got some new ones. But if you choose not to say nothing, that's all, you know, it's not a problem. What's your topic for this evening?
Okay. Interracial relationships. I want to know how the public feels about interracial relationships and would they be in one. And my part two is, how does the public feel about bisexuality? Do they think it's a real thing, or do they think that there's only lesbian and...
Ooh. Wow, okay. Now, what made you choose that specific topic?
Well, I'm in an interracial relationship right now, and I am bi as well. So I want to know what the public thinks about that.
Okay. All right, Dons and Divas. Phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air and give your point of view on Elizabeth's topic, or stay on the line to hear the show. Well, to me personally, Elizabeth, I say to each his own. You understand? You got to do what makes you happy. If being in an interracial relationship makes you happy, then that's what you do. You understand?
Yeah.
You can't worry about what everybody else thinks, because everybody else don't got to live with it. You have to live with it.
Yeah, I understand, because obviously I'm still in the relationship anyway, like, regardless to what other people feel. But, like, as someone in an interracial relationship, I get a lot of, like, oh, why you, it's because of white girls, like, you, and I'm not even white, mind you, but people always saying, like, I take their few good men or something like that because my partner's black.
Okay.
So, okay, you know, we deal with, like, smart comments like that sometimes, and I just feel like, you know, do people in this kind of relationship take it to offense, like, to the heart, like, where it really affects their relationship? Do people's family disown them because of this?
No, that's where the point boils down to, because for the simple fact is, you can't let other people discourage your relationship. You know, some people probably do it because they're jealous. They could probably want what you have. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It could be that. You understand? Something. It could be a racist thing. But it shouldn't matter, as long as you and your spouse is happy. You understand?
Yeah.
All that is the negativity vibe that people want to throw at you. You understand? And as long as you let them keep throwing that negativity vibe at you, they're going to keep doing it. You understand?
Yeah.
So you gotta put yourself in a position where you want to be like, okay, am I really going to accept the fact, okay, well, they mad because I'm white and my spouse is black. Should I accept the fact of them downgrading me or talking about me? No, it shouldn't be like that. You understand?
Yeah.
You have to put it into that perspective of you and your spouse is happy no matter what nobody say, because y'all have to be together. If you're going to let other people get into your relationship and downfort you because y'all in an interracial relationship, then that's what's going to happen. As long as y'all have a strong bond and a strong foundation, y'all will get through anything. You understand?
Yeah, I agree. And that's why, you know, we have no problem. But I just want to know how it affects other people in the same situation as well. Like, do some people feel like, or has anyone else, like, left the relationship based on because their father didn't agree or, you know, something along those lines, you know?
All right, we have a call on the line. We're going to bring them on right now, okay?
Yep.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
Okay.
We have Elizabeth on the line. Do you have a topic this evening?
Yes, I did. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I want to tell you, whatever you choose to do in life, sweetheart, love what you do. Love yourself first. As far as interracial relationships, you know, I can speak on this from the heart. Myself, I choose to stay in my own race. But I have a biracial granddaughter.
Okay.
And my son and this girl have been together for, what, 5 or 6 years? They have one kid. They get ready to have another. You know, and as far as that's concerned, as you know, if I cut you and you cut me, we all going to bleed red.
The same, yeah. That's
you know, so don't let anybody steal your joy and your happiness. If you're happy doing what you're doing, whether being bi and being in an interracial relationship, if you're happy, your partner's happy, forget the outside. I'm serious because, as Rich was saying, you're going to have haters simply for the simple fact they may want to be where you are.
Yep, that's what he said. You're right.
You know, so never think you what other people say about it is irrelevant. It's what you and your partner are doing to keep happy and stay in a perspective place. It doesn't matter if that's your choice to deal with another female, then that's your choice. I wouldn't love you any less. You know, if that's what I have, honestly, I have a bi niece. And guess what? I love her more. Because when you into whatever and you feel like the public or your family is downing you, you need more love. So therefore, keep loving yourself first. You know, you can't always wonder about what that other person is thinking about you or if they love you any less. You know, if they love you any less, they're not real. They're not being real with themselves.
See, because in my family, bisexuality is not accepted at all. It's not tolerated, not gay, not lesbian, because I come from a real religious background. I'm Hispanic, so Hispanic culture is either real strict with Catholicism or Christian, and I'm Christian, and like my church believes like women shouldn't have piercings, men with men. I mean, yeah, men with men is not accepted. Women with women is not accepted. God created Adam and Eve, not Eve and Eva. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but see, you know, now that's where I mean, you know, I could be wrong for saying this, but that's where a lot of, I think that's why I don't really go to church like I should, because there's a lot of things. How can you tell me that this and that is not accepted? God accept all of our faults and flaws.
And come as you are.
You know, I mean, that's the only person that, my grandson was just asking me yesterday, Mama, are you scared of this person? Are you scared of that person? No, I fear nobody but God. I don't have to fear him for the simple fact I know he's got my back 100%.
Yeah.
So that's what you do. You keep doing you. Be happy and make your mate happy. And if that's what you choose to do in life, God knows. Keep doing what you're doing. Live your life. Because at the end of the day, those people, your family, they cannot punch that time card for you.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, God is not going to take you out of this world or put you in heaven or hell because you're gay.
Yeah.
He's not going to put you in heaven or hell because you're dating someone not in your race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, honestly, that's all I have to say. But like I say, number one, love yourself.
Exactly.
Deal with what you're happy with. If you're happy being gay, if you're happy being with a black partner, go there. long as you're happy, be happy.
Exactly. All right. Stay on the line. We have another caller on the line. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello.
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 And how are you?
I'm good.
Did you hear the topic for this evening?
I did. I heard it was 2 parts. I think I heard them correctly. The first part being interracial relationships. I myself have not ever been in an interracial relationship. So I can't speak upon that. However, I'm not against it. I'm not against it. I'm a very open-minded person. And the second part, by sexuality and gay, the difference between the two or whatever, I'm the type of person, you know what, I love from my heart. I cannot judge. I'm not God. I'm not God. Only God can judge. So I'm not one of those people, you know, that I'm totally for it. If someone is happy, however they are, they're happy. If someone's happy being
right.
a bum, then you know what, I'm just as happy for them, if not more happy, if they're happy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
There needs to be more open-minded people in the world.
That's the thing. I'm happy and I don't care what anyone else says, but I just wonder, like, is there other people who deal with, like, rude, disrespectful comments like that? And, like, you know, would they care on expressing, like, the experiences they had like I did? Like, you know, I find it rude and disrespectful for people to say stuff like that to me. Like, it doesn't... What do they mean, like, stealing our few good men? Like, men and men in general, it's not even, like, the color of who I'm with. It should be, like, he's just a good man, period. That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
But listen, sweetheart, there are rude and disrespectful people that has, that's not in the same sex. You know, black with black, white with white. You still have disrespectful, rude people that have something to say. It's not only that, you know, what you're going through, sweetie. It's what we all go through every day. Somebody, it's always a negative person out there in the world. And for the simple fact, as Rich Money said earlier, a lot of times it's because that person wants to be in your shoes.
Exactly.
And they're not happy with themselves. So, of course, I'm going to say something rude and hurtful, you know, just to see if I can get to you. And if they see that they're getting to you, guess what?
You got a serious problem. One thing, if a person see they can push your buttons, they're going to keep pushing them.
Because they know how, yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And
so,
you can't
like
allow
I
them
said,
to do that.
I just want you to, like I say, first off, love yourself for who you are, what you are. You know, you can't worry about the outer world. They can't save you. And as the other caller said, only God can judge you.
Like people, it's just sad that there's still like racism and stuff, and a lot of people don't really like stand up as firm as like I think they should when it comes to racism. Like, my daughter is mixed, and I hear a lot of people say like smart comments in regards to that too. And yeah, and I love my daughter too. So I'm gonna mouth off in a second. And it just like, you know, I just wonder if, like I said, if people feel the way I do. Like, you know, certain things are just unacceptable. Like, it's just tired already with the racism. Like, that's so old and
it
should be buried.
It'll never stop, sweetie. It'll never stop. I'm honestly. I mean, you know, from my upbringing, where I'm from down south, that was a lot. And, I mean, it's going to be anywhere and everywhere you go, but you see more interracial couples now than you ever have.
Yeah, I agree.
And like I said, to each his own. You know, I prefer to stay in my own race, but like I said, at the same time, I have a biracial granddaughter, and I'm not going to love that child any less because she's of a different race.
you can't help who you love regardless. Anyway, if you really love someone, you're not going to be looking at their race anyway. You're going to be looking at them for who they are. So
from what's in the heart.
That's why you can't worry about what people are saying and what they think. You understand?
If we went on what people...
You got to wake up in the morning next to that person. And if you choose to let them get you to that point, then you're going to actually feel some weight towards your spouse.
Yeah.
And it's going to start
with a low self-esteem. You know, you're going to be constantly worried about what the next person is going to say. You know, when I go out today, who's going to be rude, negative, or nasty towards me and my child and my partner? No.
That's the thing. Like, in our situation, we get criticized and, like, basically we get critiqued all the time because of my sexuality and his color and my color. And it's just, like, we're just tired of it already. It's just, like, people should keep their common sense.
But you gotta realize that's how New Yorkers are gonna do that to you. They're gonna put you to that point where you understand. Y'all gonna get tired of it, but y'all can't let it break you down.
Exactly.
You understand?
And it sounds like it's breaking you down now, but you gotta keep your head up high. And every time you go out and when somebody say something, make an even bigger smile. That will tick them off worse than you going after them word for word.
See, yeah, that's my problem. Like, my boyfriend feel like I should just brush it off, but I'm more the type that I got a mouth and I don't like to be subtle with certain situations, but, like, I just feel fed up already. Like I said, I'm just tired. I'm tired of everyone's comments, tired of, like, just
people
thinking they can say whatever they want and no repercussions. Like, I don't appreciate it. And it's just,
like I said, it's tired. Let me tell you something. A person will get madder at you when you don't respond than when you respond.
Right.
You understand? If you don't respond and you just look at them and smile or whatever the case is, they're not going to say nothing about it. They're going to keep trying because they're going to keep trying to push your buttons. If they see they keep pushing their buttons, then, of course, they're going to keep making accusations at it.
Mm-hmm.
Ask you about
it. Like you said, they notice it affects me.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to keep doing it to you. See, you showing them that it's bothering you,
exactly.
So they're going to keep doing it to you. If you don't, let me explain something. Let me give you an example. Look at the Jeffersons, even though it's a TV show. Look at Tom and Willis. You see how George constantly talks about them? Black and white zebras, whatever, they don't let that get to them.
And they're still friends. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. So you can't let people, it's just words, you understand? That's all it is, words. People trying to break down your mentality. Because maybe, you know, you have a good thing.
I understand that, but as a temperamental person, it's hard. That's all I mean. Like, it's just really hard to, like, take myself and, like, yeah, I do. It's a daily project. Like, trust me. Because, like I said, when it comes to my daughter, that's my flesh and my blood.
Well, Miss Elizabeth?
Yes.
Miss Elizabeth, I have a comment for you. You mentioned that you're a Christian, and so remember at all times, try to force yourself to remember, I'm a Christian. I should not let it bother me. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't black out on these people. I'm a Christian. And I listen to Steve Harvey a lot too. And Steve Harvey will go off on somebody, but you also have to look at, he has changed his life and he has become a man of God. And he'll tell the people that mess with him, listen, I'm a Christian now, but I'm still a human. And if I will get you, I will lash out on you, so don't mess with me. Not only will I get you, the Lord is going to get you because he's backing me up.
Exactly.
So keep in mind, remember at all times that you are that child of God that you are, and you know what? He's going to fight your battles for you. And just
Try to remember that at all times. It's hard. Because that shit goes out the window when somebody's talking about your kids. You know, because you're always going to defend what's yours, especially
but you can do it.
Run at them
holding the cross
up on your fingers.
Jump back, Satan.
I rebuke you.
but if you constantly work on it, like she was saying, you can overcome it. You know, because at the end of the day, that very same person, they're miserable. They want to see you miserable with them.
Yeah.
What's the saying? Misery loves
company.
Misery loves
company. Yep.
That's what they're miserable because it's something not going right for them. You know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what race your child is. It doesn't matter what race you are. You know, we all are brothers and sisters at the end of the day, through God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I say you're going to have to work on Elizabeth. Like, you know what? You know what? Today is going to be my day. And whatever somebody say, you look at them, laugh, and throw your head up in the air and just bust out laughing at them and keep walking.
The only part that's hard for me, truthfully, because, like I said, I don't care what anyone else like thinks, but when it comes to my family, that becomes a little more personal, and especially my mother. My mother's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, when I don't get her approval, it's a bit hurtful, and it's just how do you deal with that sometimes? Like,
okay.
That's the part
she's
bothersome to me.
She's got to deal with that.
But as her daughter being casted out and unaccepted, how is one to cope with that? Like, it's not a good feeling that sits well at the end of the night, like, especially when you love your mother to death. You just don't feel like...
Understandable.
You know, you don't feel accepted. You don't feel like
that.
She might love you all the way like that. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Her love becomes questionable.
What gives you that feeling to feel that, you know, think something like that?
Because the fact that, like I said, she don't accept bisexuality or lesbians or anything of that matter. So it's like, you're not accepting me. I'm still your child.
Did,
and Dave, all that other stuff is irrelevant.
Did you sit down and try to talk to her?
All right, I'm going
to
be late.
Did you sit down and try to talk to her? Or did you just be like, oh, you don't accept it, then fine. I'm just going. Did you try to talk to her?
To be 100%, I'm not going to say I did, because then I wouldn't be honest. I didn't, like, so much in depth, but, like, my mom, for example, like, I experimented with ecstasy, and I went and told my mom about it, and she was the type, she went and printed so many pamphlets about, like, drugs, tattoos, piercings and all the effects that they have on you, and these are all things that I have.
Okay.
I do have tattoos, I have piercings, and like she's just like, no, this is why you shouldn't do this. Your body is a temple of God, and you know,
okay.
So it's hard to like.
Okay, that you talking about your body is a temple of God, but now you got something different. You talk about your heart with somebody else. It's a different.
But see, she feels like I have a boyfriend already, so why do I like girls? You know, and she feels like liking girls isn't the right thing, especially when I already have a boyfriend. I should be happy with my boyfriend.
Okay, but she's not happy with you being with a black guy either, right?
No, she doesn't mind that part. That part, she doesn't mind.
Okay,
she doesn't
so now, we're working into the second part now. That's what we're doing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
we're trying to get into that part now. Slowly but surely.
That's what we're doing now. We're working our way into the second part.
Yeah.
Well, so, what you need to do is sit down, because if she loves you, she has to accept you for, you know.
For whatever.
But, you know, whatever,
and it might take her a while.
You understand. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I met a pastor this past weekend at a barbecue, a church barbecue that I went to. And this pastor, her son is a crackhead, and she would not accept it. She was in denial of it, and she said how she would ask the Lord, why me? You know, I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor. Why me, Lord? This ain't happening to me. Why? She didn't want to accept it. So then she got to the point where she said she had to put it in God's hands, and she had to just let him know. She had to start praying for him and just let him, you know, let him see that regardless of what, she's there for him. So now today, he will be in the same presence. As a matter of fact, he was at the church barbecue looking whacked out and crazy as ever. And she would point him out. That's my son. Yes, that is my son. This is reality. I'm a pastor. I'm a true Christian. That is my son. I had to go through some hurt and pain, though, a lot of heartache and trials and tribulations, for me to be able to accept the fact that my son is a crackhead. So mom might take a little while. Mom might take a little while. God has to work with us, you know?
Like, in my church, my pastor, his daughter is lesbian, and he fully accepts it. There's no, like, that's his daughter regardless. He loves her to death, no matter what. So, like, that's all I'm waiting for with my mom. Like, I just want her to realize nothing changes at the end of the day. I'm still the same person. I'm still her daughter. And
so
it's
you go
just,
to a different church. You're in a different church as your mom, then.
Yes, when it comes to, like, Spanish background, because my mom's more so in the Spanish churches, they're more, like, strict, and that's why she's less accepting to the fact of, you know, like, I just think that's more common nowadays, and my mom's stuck in old school. She doesn't understand.
Nowadays,
you see. Because old school, like, I'm not even going to lie, back then, like, it would be really rude and disrespectful if you even, like, try to hit on a girl. Like, she would probably smack the shit out of you. Excuse my language. I know we won't. Excuse my language. But truth be told, like, it would be really disrespectful. And people don't have that. It's like, we've seen it on the news. People get beat all the time just for being gay. And it happens all the time. So,
yeah.
You know, now it's a little more accepting. People are used to the reality now. But like I said, when some people's mindset is stuck in the past, just bringing it back to racism, people's mindset is still stuck in the past instead of bringing it to up to date. Like Obama's president, like people move with the days. Like we're
right.
In modern times. Like follow, keep up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the same way it used to be. Like, yeah, the Bible was written how long ago, though? Maybe this stuff didn't, like, arise until now, you know?
Well, I want to say that I would keep you definitely in my prayers, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
And continue to be happy and do what's best for Elizabeth and your child. And
you.
Like I said, remember, first of all, make yourself happy. And always keep the man up above in your life, and you'll be okay. You know, I have to run
exactly.
Right now, but, you know, honestly, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
You know, and in due time, your mom will come through, but I just want to let you know.
Thank
Take
you.
Care of yourself.
Appreciate
right.
You
right.
Giving your input, too. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
We
talk to y'all later.
Call on the line, Elizabeth. We won't bring them on right now.
Okay.
All right. Hello, Cola, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, this is a hot topic, I must say. It's a very hot topic.
So what do you think, or which is which? Which topic are you speaking on?
Well, both, actually, because my input is, of course we shouldn't care what people think about us, of course. You know, we know that. That's a given.
Yes.
But I completely understand when you say, you know, it's hard to bite your tongue. Now, it's hard to bite your tongue when it comes down to our family. It's hard to bite our tongue when it comes down to the relationship that we're in. And
yes.
I don't know anybody that's going to sit around and let somebody disrespect them. I know not one person that's going to do that.
Okay.
You know, me personally, I can surely give you my opinion and say, you know, stay strong, you know, don't let it bother you. But at the same time, I'll be the person that'll give a tongue lashing real fast.
That's how I am. But my boyfriend's a little more passive. He feels like, you know, let's be mature and just brush it off. You know, no need to, like, be hasty, you know. And I'm the type that, like, no, that's not acceptable. You know, like, they need to be put in their place.
Right, because what it boils down to, I feel like if you allow someone to feel like they can say something to you, they're going to come at you any kind of way. You allow it the first time, they're going to come at you a second time.
That's why I said unacceptable, you know?
I'm going to give you a tongue lashing the first time. This way, it's not going to be a second time. Pretty much. I'm going to let you know how I feel in advance. And hope and pray that you understand. And, oh, don't worry, I'm going to ask for forgiveness for what I'm about to say before I give it to him. You know?
that's the way it ain't so bad through God's eyes.
When you got a relationship with God, you got a relationship with God.
You're not even praying when something just ain't right.
Lord, why the hell is this happening to me? Lord, forgive me for cursing, but Lord, you know I want to hear this right. Lord, this don't make no damn sense. Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, please.
Good gosh.
Look, that's what I'm going to say, you know, because I want to be able to voice my opinion and make sure that person understands it.
Exactly. If they could voice their opinion, I feel like, well, don't mind mine following yours then.
right.
Exactly. So I can give you an opinion that would be, oh, okay, well, don't say nothing. But then that would be what I would do.
No, but I feel like you have to say something.
Is that wrong to be that way when your partner's asking you not to be, though? Like, because to me, I feel like sometimes he need to get a backbone. Like, speak up and say something. Like,
well, he could be the type that don't want to cause friction.
That's how I think he is. But like I said, some things is just too much. Like, we can't be out in dinner and somebody's gonna come and just say something rude to us like that and think that I'm just going to sit there and be like, oh, okay, I'm going to carry on. Let's have the rest of our meal. Like, that's not me.
But, you know, you could actually break a person down mentally without even yelling at them. With mentality, you can break a person down.
That's how you were saying before, like, just to ignore them.
But you could be the nicest person in the world and put a person in their place without even yelling at them.
I learned that recently. In my relationship with a new friend of mine, over the course of the past 2 years, he started preaching that to me a while ago. You can break somebody down without even making noise, without even all that hollering and cursing. And if I had so much anger in me, I would just want to jump and holler and curse and like a dog on a chain. But then, you know, he said, no, there's no need to do that. You can break a person down mentally without even doing all that. Play your cards right. Yeah.
It's true, you can. You know, you can break them down. But I guess I've learned that I can.
I guess I still got to learn. Cause
sometimes you got what I'm about to say, though. I've learned that you can kill a person with kindness, yes.
Uh-huh.
But if you see that it's the same person that's doing it again, oh,
you
got to
lash out.
You
got
to black out.
You might have to put your paws on it.
look, I'm not going to condone no violence. But what I'm going to say is, okay. If it results to me, if you
put the paws on it,
you know?
That's some Highlander stuff.
Look, I can't sit and say that I'm not going to do it. So, like I said, I can tell you the nice way, but then I can also tell you what I would do.
Yeah.
You know, and what I would do is I'd have to give him a tongue lash, but not with the cursing. But just
more in a classy manner.
Exactly, because you always want to remain classy. You don't want to put trashy at any point in time.
Exactly, especially not at dinner.
Exactly. You know, but you want to be able to give them that tongue lashing and just where they understand exactly where you're coming from.
Yep.
You know, and then I think you were talking about like how your mom is a pastor and, you know, you have...
And she doesn't expect, she doesn't accept bisexuality. Yeah, that was the second topic.
Because, of course, we all know that in the Bible, it's Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have to realize, you know, as being human, that people have any opportunity they want to do whatever they want to. You know, so once you become a certain age, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, and you can't always look for the approval of someone, you know, because if you look for the approval from your mom, she's a pastor. You know, she's going to live on by Bible.
Yeah.
You know,
what that's what makes everybody different, you know, and unique, is that everybody can do whatever they want to do and then still come together and worship.
Exactly.
You know, because it also says only God can judge me. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? And
uh-huh.
With that being said, God is not going to come down on a day because you got tattoos, because you like females, you're not going to heaven.
Yeah.
That's not how that's going
to
work.
See, but like you said, in the Bible, though, but look at how long ago the Bible was written, too. That was my point before, too. Like, you know, people always comparing to the Bible, but first off, can anyone really confirm who really wrote the Bible? Can anyone, like, really say, does that Bible pertain to today's world, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of things have changed from then.
Right, and that's
so
why.
That's why I feel like my mom should be a little more accepting. And I'm not looking for her approval, so to speak, because I'm going to do what I'm going to do regardless. But it's just hurtful, like, dealing with that because, like I said, I don't feel like she's the same. You know what I'm saying? It's not as genuine because she don't accept it. You know what I'm saying? And that's a part of me, regardless.
Right, but you know,
so you're not fully accepting me.
But see, I think I'm looking at it a little different because to me, it's hard enough being a pastor. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a pastor, but I know a lot of them. You know, it's hard enough being a pastor as it is. Okay. But then to have your child that's doing stuff that's not Christ-like according to the Bible, according to the church, you
yeah.
know, that would be, you know, something that would be very upsetting. But she doesn't love you any less. She just doesn't approve of your lifestyle, you know. And even with the being in a relationship with a man and then still being interested in women, I mean, those are a couple big pills to swallow, you know, for a pastor. So you kind of have to put yourself in her shoes. You know, and see how she would feel, you know, how you would feel in that situation. You know what I'm saying? So it's harder because nowadays we have more of an open mind. You know, our mind is now more open than it is back then. If you grew up in an older generation, no, you have to do X, Y, and Z. This is what the Bible says. This is what I'm preaching. This is what it's about. So if she's going by that because she's probably the older generation, then yeah, it's going to be harder because that's just like you're preaching to the congregation about what life should be and how you should live according to the Bible, but yet your own child isn't doing it. You know
yeah.
So it's hard to be able to, you know, separate the two and know that your child isn't doing it. The Bible also says don't mark your body. But at the same time.
Yeah, and that's why I said she doesn't approve of, like, tattoos and piercings and all that stuff either. Because how, like you said, the Bible says don't mark your body. And, you know, the body is your temple or his temple. So that's why she just feels like, you know, I've done a lot of wrong, basically, through God's eyes. And so she just feels like if I'm going to keep along this path of, like, bisexuality, that's even worse. I need to, like, change my life because it's not accepting under God's eyes, and you know?
Yeah, but I think that a lot of people, I mean, not for nothing, even the person that can go to church 7 days a week since, you know, there's something
in life
that they're not, you know, that's not perfect. Everybody has sinned. People are still going to continue to sin, but they're still going to be able to worship God at the same time. And I don't think that, you know, I know he's a forgiving God, you know, and you're able to do whatever it is that you want to do for yourself as long as you're comfortable with it. You know, your relationship that you have with God is different than your relationship that you're going to have with your mom, with your kids. That's a relationship that's different, you know, where he's going to give you signs. He's going to show you ways to do things in a different light, you know. But as far as marking your body and stuff like that, it happens. You know, people get tattoos for all types of reasons. That's why the tattoo parlors are in business,
yeah.
You know. And not for nothing, even church people have tattoos. It's not all of them,
I mean, every church person is a sinner, period, at the end of the day, too. So that's why I feel even more so, like, why would she judge me even as her daughter, as just as a pastor? You shouldn't judge anyway. Like, you shouldn't tell me what's acceptable to God or not. Like, let God judge that.
See, I wouldn't say every church person is a sinner now. I can't,
because we all have. I'm sure, like, some part we all have sin. So it's like, people don't go to church because they're already perfect. They go to church because they're trying to get there, like, or, well, under God's eyes, you know what I'm saying? But someone who's already living, like, the perfect life is not going to be, like, all in church like that. You go to church to keep learning.
But why not? Look, you got some sanctified and holy people. They just all sanctified and holy. They just too good.
But they probably became that way through the church, though. That's why they keep going, so they keep staying that way. It's not like they probably started going to church because they was already perfect. They were looking to change their life. That's probably why they started going
to
church.
They got a testimony to tell. They got a testimony.
Exactly. But I think that, you know, see, me, I guess I'm just thinking along the lines of there's always that possibility that, okay, the pastor did sin, the deacons are sinning, you know, the deaconess are sinning. There's always that possibility, but I think that the fact that they're all different, that everybody is different, and everybody comes together in a different format to be able to, you know, not, I wouldn't say to continue to live Christ-like, but when God wakes you up, you know, you should be thankful for that. You know, if you thank him in the morning because he woke you up this morning, but then you go out and sin, people do it all the time. But I don't think that you'll see those people in church every day, you know. And you had said that, you know, there's no perfect people go to church. And, you know, I kind of disagree because the perfect people wouldn't go to church. I think that whoever wants to go to church, they're more than willing to go. But I don't know if I would say that not perfect people, you know, would go.
Look, the devil made his way into heaven, so you know he's going to make his way into the church. You got some people that are claiming they church people, they go right in the church and just be acting up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not perfect to begin with. They just go in the church to front like they are, or feel some kind of better way about themselves or something for that manner, whatever it is that they go for. But they wasn't perfect going in there. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right. We actually have a caller that we're going to go to. Cole, are you there?
Yes.
How you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I was listening to the young lady, and I understand her 100%, everything, what she's saying. People are not perfect. Nobody is perfect. That's why Jesus had to die for us to be able to repent to get it right. So, you know, she's right. Now, this is what I hate. And I know we say don't really use that word, but I hate when people want to bring out bisexuality when a sin is a sin. It's all a stink to his nostril. Just because you don't have that problem, don't go dictate somebody else's fault when you have your own.
Don't point your finger at me when your hands ain't clean.
Right.
Yeah, all of us have something to work on. But if we stop focusing on somebody else's other problems, then we can work on our own problems. Now I'm coming to you as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mom's going to be hard on you. Why?
Right.
Because she wants the best for you. If she wasn't hard on you, then you would have something to worry about, because that means she didn't wash her hands of everything you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, it took a while, and I'm a pastor, you know. My daughter, she's openly says she's gay.
Okay.
Period. Ain't nothing I did. Ain't nothing I said. But what opened my eyes was she came to my room one day, and I sat her down. I handed her the Bible. There. Just read. You know. I was not feeling this. And then one time she was always putting her business on Facebook, and I told her, don't be putting your business on Facebook. She's like, Mama, I don't care who knows. I said, it's not about who knows. It's about who will take something and use it against you.
That's right.
I said, but don't do that. So I had to deal with it. I'm telling you this for you to know that I understand because I'm dealing with it myself. But I love my daughter for who she is, what she decides to do, because when it comes down to a sin is a sin. There are greater sins. The sexuality sins are greater. But I believe at the end of time before she closed her eyes, I'm having faith that she repents for her wrongdoing. I have faith that eventually something's going to happen and take place. But when I woke my eyes up, I was laying down in the bed, and she's not a child that really expressed herself, and she put on Facebook, she said, the one person that I need to care the most is the one person who's turning her back. I jumped up out of my bed. I said, you come here. I said, now what I'm telling you is what you're doing, I don't agree with it. I don't accept it. I said, but that has nothing to do with the love or me being a mother towards you feel. I said, because as a pastor, I got to tell you what's right. And as a mother, I'm going to tell you what I do and don't condone. I said, just like I don't like some of your friends, I don't condone that. I said, this just happened to be a bigger subject. But you're going to have to allow your mama some room because she's reacting as a parent. And once you start having children, you'll see how we feel. Cause I do have one.
That's why, like, sometimes I don't understand.
The baby must still be on your lap.
No, she's actually grown. She's actually 11 years old. So.
Oh, she's not grown now.
Well, she's almost grown. She's not on my lap.
Wow.
Wait till she gets some hormone stage. Wouldn't you do any and everything to protect your daughter?
Yes, of course. Okay.
Your mama doing the same thing, baby, spiritually.
Right.
Well, you're right. But sometimes, like you said, though, sometimes like you have to separate mom and pastor. You know, like sometimes you want mom to accept you like mom should. As a pastor, okay, I see your points of view, why it's not accepted. And just like you said, she tells me all the time, you got to repent before it's too late. You know, I don't want to see you go to hell or for something so, like, stupid like that.
Well, yeah,
know?
And baby, you can't even take that to heart. You have to remember your mom knew to this too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she dealing with her own issues, because I had to deal with my own issues. It's just the fact I thank God for Facebook and my daughter putting too much of her business on it. It woke me up.
Yeah.
You hear me? I had to go to a friend of mine who is bisexual. I'm not bisexual, but I had to go to someone who knew about
this
thing.
You understand?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now your mama might not go to somebody who understands, but I'm more of an open person. You know, I'm only 39, about to be 40. God. I wanted to.
Hey,
I had to go to somebody to understand this. So if your mama's not that open, all I'm telling you, baby, you're going to give your mama some time. You're going to have to give your mama some time and just say, you know, it's just that lack of knowledge. It's just that lack of knowledge. Just like you don't understand why people in church, the reason why I go to church when the church door is open is for Pat won't go back being a little bit. That's the wrong line. I know what it takes to keep me in line. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I go all the time. Not because of the sin. It's because Pat needs to stay regulated.
Yeah.
Everybody know what it takes to keep them in line. And little bit don't need to ever turn it back.
Yeah.
Feel me?
Yes.
So I just thank God, but y'all, I'm in the car. I just had to call my phone. I'm going to call back, but you know how these kids is. As soon as I got in the house, what I had to do, roll out. She want to go somewhere. She's driving, and I'm on the passenger side. You see what sometimes mom got to do? Now, you know, good well, this girl, 15 years old, she got her little permit. You know I'm not that comfortable with talking and letting her drive. That's how important it was for me to talk to you today on this phone, girl.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Give your mama some space. Give your mama some space. Let her do it. Just listen to her and then go on by your business.
I do.
Just listen and go on by your business, because at the end of the day, that's your mama. She going to have your back 100%. She just don't understand this thing. That's all.
Thank you. That's all it is.
And the very thing we don't understand is the very thing we run from.
That's true. And when it hit home,
we overkill. Come on. When I really took effect, I sat my daughter down and handed her the Bible and say, read until I say stop.
That's what I said. My mom brought me, like, all kinds of pamphlets and stuff. So I understand.
You're going to have to look at it. You're going to have to turn your thinking. When she does it, say, dang, my mama really loved me. Even though she don't understand, she really loved me because she put this much time and effort into something that she don't understand, but she doing what she feel like she needs to do. And as a mother and as a pastor, I'm going to explain this. As a mother and pastor, what she's dealing with, the bisexuality, it can't be separated because she also don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. But I had to start thinking, okay, my daughter started thinking I didn't love her no more. And that's what I had to get across to her. I don't agree with what you're doing. I don't agree with it. I won't start agreeing with it. It's wrong spiritually. It's wrong to me morally. But I love you, and I got you 100%. But never one time did she ever hear me say, I agree with what she's doing. Uh-huh. Your mama is overkill with love. That's it. Your mama is in overkill with love. And I just thank God I had some lesbian friends, family, because I had to call some people, girl. I had to go for mine because my own daughter was sitting in my face. But everybody's just not that open. And so I hope I helped you somehow.
Yeah, you did. You're saying to me probably what my mom, wanted to say to me, but she just... So not understanding to the fact, like you said, so she just don't really know how to approach it. So I appreciate your comment. It means a lot.
She don't know how to approach it, baby. Make her right here. She don't know how to approach it. And that's the bottom line. She don't. But one thing I don't, yes, right here. One thing I don't want you to do is ever say, she don't accept me. That's a lie from the pits of hell. She just trying to do all she can do to do it right. And being a pastor, everybody else falling in line, and you preach it and you teach it, then here it hits you at home. And, I'm pretty sure she's thinking about what people saying about her, what she doing at home, what she teaching her daughter. See, it goes way beyond you of the pressure that she's feeling on top of everything else. Because me personally, I thought I was going to shut the doors to the church until the Lord told me, no, you not. I don't want the phone to hang up while I'm talking, but baby, bless you. I wish I could talk to you more. Anytime you need anything, just call. That's all I can say is call or hit me up on Facebook if you always need a question answered when it comes to this. But you never cut your mama, and you always continue to put you and your baby first.
Thank you.
All right. Love y'all, and I'll see y'all Sunday.
All right.
All
good
right,
night.
Pastor. Good night. Wow.
All right. Love y'all.
Love you,
amen.
Too. Wow.
Bye,
Elizabeth.
Baby girl.
That was deep.
What's your final thought on the topic?
I think I'm going to definitely give my mom some space and... You know, like everyone said, at the end of the day, it really boiled down to what makes me happy and what makes everyone happy in general. Like, no one else's opinion matters. Do your life the way you want to do your life.
Exactly. Is there any shout-outs you want to give?
To my friend Rachel. And everybody on my Facebook, and to you guys for having me on the show. Once again, I had a good time, and it was good topic, good feedback. Good night.
All right. You know you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem.
Thank you again.
All right. Elizabeth Maldonado, Dawns and Divas. All right. Coming up next, artist Chris Livingston. And we're going to be playing his smashing single, My Body. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Yeah, it's just me and you tonight. And I'm at the point where I never want to share you ever again.
With Chris Livingston at all.
Yeah,
it all originated through, I was actually a foster child. I was taken away from my mother. To tell everybody, my name used to be Christopher Ronald Humawari, and that's like kind of Arabic and Mexican. So that's where I'm mixed with Arabic and Mexican. And as soon as I got taken away from my mother, her name was Maureen Curdy, I went into another family. And the lady that I went was A.C. Spradling, A.C. Levingston. So what happened when she adopted me, I changed, we went to court, and she changed over my last name. My name was always Chris. She just changed over the last name. So when I got the whole name, I was like, and then I was kind of impressed with the name people was liking and feeling the Chris Levingston, you know what I'm saying? And especially them knowing that I sing, you know what I'm saying? They was like, I see that being a name I'm hearing, you know? So that's really how it originated, how the name Chris Levingston all came into its own part.
Okay, and you just kept it from there as your stage name.
Yeah, kept it from there ever since. So ever since I got adopted and the name was there, I kept it. Actually, the full name is Christopher Jordan Levingston, the full new name. So I switched over my whole name because I knew that I was a singer and that's what I wanted to do. So I'm like, I got to come up with a name for myself. So that's what I did. I took Christopher Jordan Levingston. That's my full name now.
Now, let me ask you, how old was you when you first started singing?
I was 5 years old when I first started singing. I was 5 years old. Yeah, 5 years old. I remember, you know, I was at my house, you know, with my actual blood mother. And she even said herself, this young man, I could tell my son is going to be a singer because I used to always cut on the Barney Pokemon and just sing to it. You know what I'm saying? I just was always singing the Barney Pokemon. Whatever came on TV, I was always into it and singing to it. And my mom was like, yo, he's definitely about to be a singer. I could tell already. Every day he's sitting in his room just singing to this Barney. I didn't even want nobody to mess with me while I was singing. So my brother cut off the TV one day and I bit him. I mean, like, I'm like, yo, you cut off Barney off of me, man. I bit him. And he was like, man, what's wrong with you? So, yeah, I started real young. Really young.
Oh. Now, let me ask you. Well, you know you was really ready to sing then.
What was that again?
I said, you know you was really ready to sing then.
Oh, what?
Now, you started singing in a church choir.
Yes.
What made you decide to do R&B instead of gospel?
You know what? What made me start to do R&B instead of gospel? It's not, I can't tell the world instead of gospel because I'm still a part of the man upstairs. You know, the thing that got me started with R&B was knowing that where is all the people at in the R&B world? So where can I catch people at? You know what I'm saying? If you listen to a lot of what I do, it's still in the way of mostly all my songs is inspirational. When I talk about something, a lot of times it's talking about something with a meaning. Like, you know, I have songs in there that's catching people's idea about sex, but even when I talk about sex, I never refer to a woman as a B, a C, a D. You know what I'm saying? What guys do out here. And then a thing that I wanted to bring to the table to people is being real to them about life. You know what I'm saying? Being real to them about life and, you know, and just trying to lift people up, because that was my whole thing with writing. I wanted to lift people up. I wanted to tell people that, look, you know, I came from a place down below, and I rose up, and I know you could do the same. You know what I'm saying? Because I came from a dark shadow, so I know you can make it to the light, too. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how it came about, because I was like, if I'm going to reach people, I know I'm going to reach them in this area right here. I know I'm going to reach them because, you know what I'm saying, even though gospel, if you listen to gospel now, if you listen to gospel now, look at Mary Mary, the A Lot of Their Songs. A lot of their songs, if you listen to it, you'll kind of think it's R&B for a second. The song that they did with T-Pain, look at that. I'm like, what? T-Pain, come on now. You know, so a lot of times you sitting there and you thinking like, dang, you know, and that's kind of how I came up with, like, you know what, if I'm going to reach a lot of people, I'll do it through the R&B side. And I can still grab a lot of people in all areas, because people start to see in all areas that that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to always talk about, my main thing is I'm trying to be, if you think of a Michael Jackson. Think of, look at Michael Jackson and a lot of his songs right now. A lot of the songs he did. If you listen to what he did, Michael Jackson had up-tempo beats but inspirational things. And people kind of caught on to what he did and was like, dang, man, I love him. This dude didn't never talk about sex all the time. He didn't always have to talk about females all the time. This man talked about life. And then through talking about life, he caught a lot of people's eyes. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that's where I got my songwriting from. It's from people like Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, Temptation. You know what I'm saying? I'm really trying to bring something big to the table. I'm not trying to be nobody trying to come into the game and, you know, and just trying to be like everybody else. And I just want people to see that I'm really different. It's nothing from the way I speak, from the way I act, you know what I'm saying? Everything I do and everything I say is way different than a lot of people. The way I come off at people, I don't come off at people disrespectfully. I call everybody sir, ma'am, you know what I'm saying? I don't care if they're young. I went into the mall a lot of times, and young girls is like, dang, he called me, see, ma'am, I'm young like him, you know what I'm saying? And so she like, dang, he got a lot of respect. Like, I do that because that's how I was raised, you know what I'm saying? When we raised a certain way, that's how it is. So that's kind of how I came into the transition of gospel to R&B.
Okay. Well, what I want to do right now, I want to get into one of your singles.
Okay.
Be With Me Tonight. Tell me a little bit about that single.
Be With Me Tonight was actually a song that I wrote that was kind of like, it's kind of like you in a club and stuff, and you peeping this girl out, and you seeing her, and you like, dang, man, this girl, man, she is beautiful. But it's like you're not scouting out all other females. Like, a lot of songs they got is, like, scouting out, like, just the girls, period. This song is basically talking about that one girl that I'm like, dang, I wanna be with you. I want to, man, hey, what's up? Like, I want to talk to you. What's up? Like, can I take you somewhere? Can I take you out? Can we go somewhere? Can we chill? So that's kind of how Be With Me Tonight is. It's like, no matter what, I'm going to be determined to be with you tonight. You know what I'm saying? To get with you tonight. Because no matter what happens, I'm not leaving this place until I can kind of, you know, get you to see it my way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
And that's kind of how Be With Me Tonight is. And it's a really good song. I really, when I wrote it, I really was like, damn, once I recorded it, I was feeling it myself. So, you know what I'm saying? But that's kind of how Be With Me Tonight. It's just a song of, like, you know, you seeing this female, and it's this one certain female, and no matter what, you just want her. You know what I'm saying? And you want her to be with you no matter what. You know, it's, you seen her in the club, and you like, man, I want this to be my girl. You know what I'm saying? And usually when you go to a club, it's just like going to a club to see a female and taking her, and you know what I'm saying, doing the deal, you know? And that song is just saying that I see this female, I don't want to do the deal. I really want to be with this girl, you know? So that's kind of how this song is. Like, it's like you see your wife in this club, you know what I'm saying? Your future wife in this club. So that's kind
of, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that right now.
Okay, no problem.
All right, Dons and Divas. This is Chris Leviston. Be With Me Tonight. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I gotta get in my ride.
Chris.
Hey.
That joint right there is fire. Ain't no question about it.
Yeah.
That joint right there is fire. That's definitely a club banger.
Yeah, definitely. I was telling your girl that I was out in New York City all over the place. I was there for like 3 years before I came back to my city, Detroit. And
wow.
I was there for 3 years. People was taking me hand in hand, like it was from all over, TV stations and everything. And when I left, it was like 20 more radio stations and everything that wanted me to just thing. It was like, man, once you come back, like, let us know. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was like, we got you. So I was on a lot of different shows and stuff and different little things. Nightline Radio. I don't know if you heard them, but Nightline Radio, I've been on there. I've been on a lot of different radio stations. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Yeah, it is. Because not only have you been on the radio stations, you also auditioned for making of the band for an American Idol. Elaborate us on that.
American Idol and making of the band for. Making of the band for, when I went there, I actually was auditioning and I went in and they wanted someone at the time who could sing really good and dance. So, man, this is crazy. I came in there. I sung Overjoyed by Stevie Wonder. The guy, they just looked at me because I'm small. So they looked at me. They was like, man, this Juggins coming out of this small guy right here, Stevie Wonder. So the guys that P. Diddy had was like, look, man, do you know how to dance? Because they was about to take me right there. They was like, you know how to dance? I was like, at the time, I didn't. I was like, man. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know what, man, we can't let you leave. He was like, well, let's get your number. He was like, we're going to get your number. At that time, man, my mom changed the number to the phone, to her little phone thing at the house. I was mad. These dudes were saying, yeah, I would have had, that was one opportunity right there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
And you know what I'm saying? But, hey, man, I still don't give up. So this time I went to American Idol in Kansas City, Missouri. And, like, I want to let people know that when I do something, I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I told myself, you know what, I don't care what happens. I only had $100 in my pocket. And I said, yo, I'm getting on a bus and I'm traveling out to Kansas City, Missouri to go to this audition. My family was scared because it was like, man, how is this guy going to survive off of honey? So they start racking up. They start racking up money because they knew I was about to go. I don't play around. When I say I'm going to do it. So I went to Kansas City on the bus, and I just tried out for American Idol. I made it through the first round, the second. I made it all the way to the 100th place of American Idol. And that's when they stopped me, and then they were saying that basically at that time, everybody did not agree with Simon, none of them. Simon was the main one who said, he was like, well, you know, you sound like this guy that won last year. And everybody was like, no, no. They was like, no, he don't. No, he don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, they disagreeing. And that's when I was like, I wasn't even honest. I just was like, hey, at least I made it this far. And I told all of them, thank you for the opportunity. You know, it was great doing this, and I'm so blessed to make it this far because it was thousands of people sitting out there, and out of that, I made it to the top 100, so that makes me feel really good about myself. And you know that I made it that far. And
we have a caller on the line for you. I'm going to bring this caller in, and you know, let's say something to you real fast, all right?
Okay.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hi, how are you all?
All right.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing good.
I was just listening to, you know, you talking and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, sounds like you're going to the top.
Yeah.
You know, and keep up the good work. Does you being in that field interfere with your family?
Say that again, ma'am.
I said that what you do, being an up-and-coming artist, does that interfere with your family?
Oh, no, it doesn't. You know, what's crazy, ma'am, is that my family know that since I was 5 years old, that's all I wanted to do. So It's sad that my family doesn't know a lot more about me. That's all everyone out here knows about me is music. And my family, they told me I just try to kind of, it's hard for me to distance myself from my music. That's what they want me to do for. They want me to kind of figure out other things about me. But I told them, my life is, this is me. I want to help people. You know, I can't help it that I want to be a person that I'm living and I'm dying off of my music of helping people. And that's what I told myself being young, that I'm going to help other foster children. I'm going to help other people along the way that's going through the same problems as me. So they can see that, you know what, I have a chance to do the same thing that he did.
Right.
You know what?
Okay.
And
so go ahead.
Oh, no, you can go ahead, ma'am.
I said, so you're not married or anything? You have kids?
Oh, no. No,
okay.
I'm not married at all. Got no kids. And, no, trust me, females always come out telling them, no, but I don't want no kids right now. It's a bitch. Hey, a lot of them try smoothing themselves in a little bit. Trust me. They try doing it.
You better listen. While you're young, you better go out there and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely do.
I mean, you know,
you
could have a kid that come up and be the same as you, you know?
You're right. You're right about that. And you know what? I can't give you so much credit about what you just said. Like, that's true. I can raise my kid to grow up and be better than his dad or a girl.
Exactly.
Do the things that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I agree. And
you know.
I thank you for that.
Yeah,
that's,
you
that's
know,
true.
And keep your head up and keep it moving. And, you know, you'll get to the top.
Yes,
it's bound to
happen.
Well, I'm going to tell
you
like this. Carla, you stay on the line and listen to his next track I'm going to play, and you tell me if he's going to get to the top.
Right now.
We have another caller for you first. I want to bring that other caller on, Chris, and then we're going to get into that smashing single, My Body, all right?
Oh, no, go ahead. Thanks a lot, bro.
All right, hold on. Hello, Carla, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air. You have Chris Levinson on the line.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, how are you, ma'am?
Good, good. I was just listening to your single that was just played. That's definitely going to be a club banger, definitely.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I want to know, how did it feel to be on American Idol in front of everybody?
Oh, wow. You know what? Like, to me, like, it felt like a dream come true. Because wherever I go, if you ever do me, wherever I go, I'm not scared no more. It took me a long time to get there. It took me a long time to be on American Idol was like, am I even here? Like, I see this on TV all the time. I'm like, what? I'm here? I see Simon and all them. I'm like, geek. I'm like, yo, this is nice. I'm like, they laughing because I'm making up jokes and stuff. I'm like, they like, man, you cool, though. I like you. They was like, you real cool. And And that's the kind of personality I like to bring. I like to make some people smile all the time. If you're not smiling, I'm not happy. That's how it is. I'm kind of like the same as Michael Jackson. I live off of people. Like, if I don't see a smile on somebody's face, then it's kind of like it brings me down. Like, I like to see people smiling. My brother always told me, man, everybody's not going to smile. Everybody's not going to. And I used to, it used to be hard to get used to that. You know, I used to think that everybody has some type of smile and face, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes, but to answer that question, American Idol was the best thing that happened to me. And I'm sorry I didn't write that on it, but I have been to Apollo also while I was in New York City. And the guy said the same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I have been three times. I've been to Apollo. I sung on the stage, and they went crazy. They kept on calling me back. And the situation came where I was at Job Corps in New Jersey. And what happened was my time was up. My time was up. I set everything up. I live all the way here in Detroit. I told myself, I'm going to go to Job Corps, New Jersey, and I'm going to go out to New York every day and promote myself. And that's exactly what. And now look at it. People from New York City is noticing the gifts that I have, and I'm all the way from Detroit, Michigan.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a blessing. And a lot of times I cry in my room because I can't even believe that people hitting me up all through New York like, man, you have to come back. Like, we need you out here. Like, you have to come back out here because you're going to set it off for even Detroit, you know. And I said it. And a guy told me yesterday, they texted me back and forth. He said, man, we ain't trying to put no pressure on, but you the next Chris Brown. They was like, we ain't trying to throw no pressure on you, but, and I was like, no, you ain't throwing no pressure on me. I was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I'm working hard. That's all I can do, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
And what type of age crowd are you trying to reach? Are you trying to reach the younger generation, older generation? Like, what are you trying to attract?
And that's a good thing you say. I'm trying to attract multiple age groups. That's why I have the songs that I have, and when you hear them, I'm trying to reach just not one age group. I'm trying to reach multiple age groups within what I write. You know, if you listen to Motown, everybody loves Motown. Everybody loves My Girl.
Right.
You don't care where you come. And, man, you throw that My Girl on in a quick second, everybody going to be up. From Puerto Rico to Mexico to, you know, oh, I'm telling you. I was in Washington, D.C. It was people from all everywhere, like all over the place. They all got up when that My Girl hit. Once I started performing that, everybody was up, all for their feet. And that's kind of how I want to put it. That's the songs that I try to write. It's songs that's not only going to hit one age group, it's going to hit multiple. Like Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonders, all these people I'm trying to go after because I don't want to hit only one age group. I want everybody to be able to enjoy it, at least a multiple age groups that can listen to the same thing as their daughter and be like, man, I like this song, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of where I'm going with this. And that's it. Every day when I do write, every day when I write, I try to write something better that's going to hit to people and make them understand what's happening out here and that dreams should come true. I believe in that now. I always have, but dreams can come true. You just got to have that mentality. Once you have that mentality that, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm never going to give up, then you going to walk in that direction. No matter how much you don't want to walk, once you put it in your mind is like a robot. It's trying to tell you, hey, man, you just said you never going to give up, so that's what I got in here.
Right, and I was just about to say, you know, don't give up. Always stay focused. Oh, you know, you're definitely on the right road. And with you not giving up, you'll definitely go far. And, you know, I do like the way that you network around, you know, two different states as well, you know, making sure that your music is being heard. So just keep up the good work, and you're on the rise.
Oh, thank you so much, man, for calling in and giving me them word of advice.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Chris, I need to get into my body.
Hey.
All right. Now, let me ask you. That single is hitting hard. Tell us a little bit about that single real fast.
My body, oh my God. Trust my body, man. This is my song too. Wow. When I wrote that song, now I'm going to tell you what was on my mind. What was on my mind when I wrote Touch My Body was it was kind of like a thing that you telling a woman, like, you know what? I'm not going to go ahead and rush into what I'm about to do to you, honey. I'm going to take it slow on you. I'm going to do you so good that you going to want me more than I want you. And that's kind of how I got it when it say, girl, my body, on your body, kiss. I'm doing all of this. I'm kind of seducing her in a way.
You definitely doing it, too. Ain't no question about it.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm seducing her. I want to get into it right now because I got to hear this single. All right? All right, Gods and Divas. Here's another banger by Chris Leviston. It smashes single that's hitting the nation real hard. My Body. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
That's what I'm talking about. I'ma feel you up and down, baby. You gon' feel me up and down. We gon' get it on. Yeah, we are. You know, I'ma do you right. You gon' do me right. We gon' do this, baby. Listen.
Feel my body on your body, kissing and rubbing. Feeling and touching, feel my body on your body, kissing and rubbing, feeling and touching. This is a strategy of you to start to move. I really love it, take my time and play it smooth. When women see the things we react in such a way, they really wanna give me more. Body, oh, your body, oh, your body, your body, your body,
tell you, I'm about to take my lady and get off this air right now.
Hey, it's my body. Oh, man.
Yo, I listened to that song about 5 times.
Oh, I tell you, no lie.
That song right there is fire.
Yeah, I love that.
We have a caller on the line for you. We're going to put that caller through real fast.
Okay.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you on the line with Chris Leviston?
What's up, family?
Hey, what's up with you, bro? How's everything going?
All right, I'm good. Let me see, man. I'm way off the subject right now, but somebody put this radio show in my group. I'm on Facebook trying to find help, man. There's something wrong with my spine, and ain't no doctors gonna help me, right? I'm trying to find one celebrity that could speak for me, and like I don't know why they in my group, but I figured I'd call y'all because I heard everything you saying.
Well, Chief, this is a Blog Talk Radio show. We ain't no doctors here that could actually help you right now. This is an artist show with celebrities and everything on it. I'm sorry about your spine, but I don't think, you know, unless you want that song could probably heal it before you even get a girl. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, Livingston. Celebrity. Celebrity, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Eugene Cobb. Eugene Jamil Dion Cobb, fam.
Okay, I get it. I got you, bro.
All right, yo.
Take care of that spine, man. You know, hope it get better.
Yeah, definitely, man. I pray for you, man.
You got people calling about their spine, Chris. Maybe he was listening to the song and it cracked. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know. But, Chris, let me ask you. How long does it usually take you to write a single?
Usually, a lot of times, man, it takes me probably about 30 to an hour to write a 30 to an hour. And that's on the time that I'm like, I'm all in focus with it. I'm all in. And you know what's crazy? I'm going to tell you what's crazy about me. I don't know. I think God gave me more of a gift to write soulful music so quick. I can write a soulful song within minutes. But then once I do something like My Body or Touch, it takes a little time. But when it comes down to a soulful love song, I can do that. Like, I don't know. I think God gave me an area of where I really excel at. If you listen to a lot of my soulful songs, then you'll be like, dang, he has a lot. And I write them so quick. Like, people request me all the time to write things for them. And I can come up within about not even 30 to an hour or less than that. But when it comes down to, like, a fast-type song, I wasn't so used to that. My boy got me on that. His name was Snake Eyes. And he got me on more of the fast up-tempo beat, like the fast up-tempo. And I'm like, and I wasn't used to it. And I'm like, nah, man, this ain't me, bro. I'm a soul. He was like, yo, man, look, listen, bro. He was like, yo, gift, man. He was like, man, speed this music up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We going to get some songs that you could throw in the club so people can be able to hear you. So I'm like, then. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, then. Let me try this. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to see what's up. And then after I did it a couple of times, that's when I started getting used to, you know, doing it. So I started just writing on them. So he kind of got me into that, you know, into that mode of writing more up-tempo beats. Because I'm really good when it comes to soulful, slow songs. And, you know, I can write one of those and within minutes because that's where my heart is all the time. It's always about you know what I'm saying? My heart is always into that slow moving type, you know what I'm saying? Something like
exactly.
that you can feel in the inside.
I definitely feel you. We have another caller on the line for you.
Okay.
We're going to bring that caller on. We're going to check to make sure they spine's all right. Hello, caller. You on the air?
Hello. Oh, man.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How's everything going, man?
All right. Everything's wonderful.
My soul
definitely got touched by that song. I really like
what?
That song.
And that is so good. That is such a blessing to hear.
And I wish you continued success. So far, I'm loving the music. I am definitely a fan.
Oh, thank you, son. And definitely after this, you know, I'll give out my Facebook and stuff so y'all can add me through. So, you know,
wonderful.
And yeah, just stay tuned, and I'll give out a lot of information that you can actually go and purchase some stuff, and you know what I'm saying. And it, you know, some stuff out there. So definitely, I'm happy you called to let me know that, you know, because it's a blessing. You know, to hear people say things like that, especially coming from New York City. You know what I'm saying? Especially coming, because New York City is a big play. If you can, what they say, if you can make it in New York City, you can make it anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
You can make it anywhere, because New York City, they'll tell you right off the top. They'll tell you, them people don't play out there, and I already knew what I was facing when I came out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so definitely it's a blessing. I thank you a lot, ma'am, for that.
You're welcome. God bless and continued success. Like I said, I am a fan.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a nice night.
Okay, you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. Chris, you run out of time, but I need to get into one more of your singles. Get Up, Let's Dance. Tell us about that single.
Oh, Get Up, Let's Dance, man. That's my stuff, man. I feel like dancing right now. Shoot. For real, like, Get Up, Let's Dance. When I wrote that one, I was thinking more into some Michael Jackson type, up-tempo type. Like, I just wanted people to be happy. Like, I just want people, like, if you stressed out out there, if you're a person you stressed all the time, if you're a person that you don't like to dance, if you're a person that, like, you know, you just got these mood swings and all, I guarantee you this song will brighten up your day. It's just a song that just make you want to dance no matter what. It's like you be like, man, I ain't dancing to that, but once you hear it, you be like, oh, man, okay then. Let me do a couple moves, you know. So, you know, so the song is definitely, I do it every day. I listen to that song every day and I dance to it. That's how I kind of learn how to do some moves is through Get Up, Let's Dance. No lie.
You know what? We're going to get into that right now.
Okay, definitely.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here's Some More Fire by Chris Levinston. Get Up, Let's Dance on GQ Palace. Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Y'all. Yeah. My name is Chris Levinson, y'all, and I just want you to rock with me. Come on and dance with me. Let's get this party started. Get up, let's dance.
Get up, let's dance the night away. Release yourself in every way. Dance, let the music hit your soul. Dance, 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 dance. All night long.
All right, for sure.
Definitely. So.
All right, Chris. Chris Leviston, Dons and Divas. Coming up next, she's the CEO of Diamond Entertainment and Diva Squad. Diamond is her name. And we will be right back to talk to her and find out what's her next step in the business field of promotional modeling, and a couple of other events she got going on. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Things going on.
Well, you're definitely going to get into it.
you know, because I'm pretty sure they want to know what's going on with Diamond Entertainment and, you know, Diva Squad. You know, you got the management, you got the promotional, you're a promoter, you know. But first I want to start with Diamond Entertainment.
Okay.
When did you start Diamond Entertainment? What made you start that, the entertainment?
Diamond Entertainment was actually started in the late 2004, early 2005. I started Diamond Entertainment because I felt like rappers in the industry didn't have a lot of guidance, and they needed just someone to really believe in them and make sure that they get to the next level. Because one thing a lot of people don't have is someone that believes in them and believes in what they do, so they get discouraged, or they're around people who don't know the business or don't understand what it takes for a rapper to be successful.
Okay. Now, how many artists are you actually dealing with at this present time with Diamond Entertainment?
As far as artists, I'm only dealing with three artists. I have one MC. I do publishing for one artist, and I work with DJs.
Oh, so you just dealing with the whole music industry mainly.
And producers. I do have a producer. Yeah.
Okay, so you just take it to a whole another level. Now, like you said, you manage it, and you're a promoter. Now,
yeah,
is it the same reason that made you get into, you know, those two divisions?
No. it's similar, but being a promoter was something that I had decided to do because I felt like it's easy. Nobody is doing it right, and it's so easy to do. Why not do it and capitalize over the game as a whole? Why not just offer everything instead of offering one particular service? Because, like, at that point, before I started promotion, I was just doing, you know, management, and I was just trying to help people's careers, but then I ended up promoting them as well. So I said, why not make this promotion thing a business, too?
Okay, so that's when you decided to take it to that level.
Yeah.
Now, as you being a promoter, do you feel a female promoter has a better advantage than a guy promoter in the promotional field?
Do I feel a female? I definitely feel that females have a different advantage than guys, because when a guy is handling, and this goes for management, promotion, and everything in the entertainment circuit, when a guy is coming and he's talking business, he can talk it with a stern, strong face, and everybody is going to take him serious. They're going to think, oh, he means business because of the tone and the way he talks. But when you're dealing with a female, it's like, you don't, guys don't take women as serious as they would their male, you know what I'm saying? They don't take females serious because they feel like, oh, that's just a girl. And, you know, we live in a society where men feel like they dominate the situation. So it's like women have it harder because women can't get through the guys. They feel like they, you know, run the show. So it's hard to talk business with a guy and a guy take you serious. And, like, a guy might offer another guy a price and then try to offer you a different price because of the fact that you're a female. Just like in a car, when you go out to the car dealership, the car people think, she don't know nothing, so I'm going to charge her this, that, and the other because she don't know nothing, when you actually know way more than a guy. It's just how it is.
Okay, so you feel like it's a double standard on that part with the promotion things. But don't y'all females have that little charisma where y'all can, like, you know, talk to the guy, you know?
I mean, now in that aspect, you can do that because there are ways where females can get the upper hand. But, you know, you shouldn't have to fight all the time to really get the upper hand. People should want to just take you serious for what you do. And accept, you know, accept what a woman offers. You know, we shouldn't have to come to a meeting and have the short skirt on for you to say, oh, let me listen to her. You should come. We mm-hmm. should come professional and be in a room and you say, yeah, she has something to say, not, oh, let me see if I can have sex with her before I give her the deal.
Okay, I definitely agree with you on that note. Now, what do you feel is the worst thing about being a promoter?
The worst thing about being a promoter is probably not just one. I'm pretty sure I could name a lot, but I want to say the worst thing. I want to say the worst thing to me about being a promoter is the janky business that goes in it. It is so, a lot of times when you're promoting, if, for example, if you're a club promoter, it's so much janky stuff in club promotions that if you go into business with another promoter, you don't know if that promoter is going to cutthroat you just to get to your position. Like, for example, if you're the connect between the club and your team, and you don't know if somebody on your team or some other promo team you brought in with you is going to try to undermine you just to get to the club owner and knock you out the deal. Or as far as on the music level, you don't know if the artist really has the money they claim they have. Because when I know when I'm promoting music, artists come to me all the time, and they don't have no budget. And it irritates me because it's like, how do you expect me to work? And you don't have a budget, do you know I got bills just like you got bills? So you want me to promote you for free, but then you don't want to take care of me and compensate me on nothing? It's just like that irritates a lot of promoters. It's like we put our work and our effort into this, and then you devalue it by saying, oh, can you do it for free? Oh, man, you can get experience from this. And I'm like, I've been doing this since 05. I don't need experience. I've been doing this.
So let me ask you, so mainly do you feel a promotional feel is for everyone, or do you believe you have to have a certain expertise to be a promoter?
Okay. I think everybody in their own right is a promoter, but to call yourself a promoter as a profession, everybody can't do that. So I think anybody can log onto the internet and say, hey, check out this song. Or anybody could go and word of mouth something for you. So everybody is a promoter, you know, in their own right. But to say, I want to make money or make this my career, everybody can't do that because, number one, to be a promoter, you have to have patience. You got to be able to deal with everybody's problems and situations because you're running a business being a promoter, whether you think so or not, whether you're saying just pay me $100, $500 or whatever, you're still running a business. You got to be patient because these rappers will come to you and ask you your price. You tell them your price, and then it might take them 2 years to come back to you thinking they're still going to get the same price. So you got to be patient. You got to be, you know what I'm saying, you got to understand that everybody that come to you ain't got no money. So don't think that everybody asking you for a price is going to be your customer. They not. So it's like it's not for everybody because everybody don't have that patience. They don't have a heart for it. You know, it's easy for somebody to tell their friends, go check out so-and-so record. Go check out that new so-and-so. But who actually has the time to sit at the computer or go out in the streets and do the legwork for it? That's when you can say you a real promoter. Because anybody can promote Training Day. Anybody can go say, go check out that new Denzel movie because that Denzel movie is what's up. Then it's like that's free promo for Denzel. But, you know what I'm saying, a real promoter would have to put in the legwork and the time for it.
I definitely agree with you on that. You got a lot more experience than a lot of guy promoters right now. And you talk about they week over. It seems like you got a lot more going on than the guys. We actually have a caller on the line for you, so we're just going to bring this caller in real fast. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. You have
what's going on? Hey, what's going on, Diamond?
What's going on?
You know who this is?
I do. That is actually one of my producers that I work with in the business. His name is Coyote, and he's from Houston by way of Dallas, and he has a hot list of tracks and beats that he's gonna start showcasing to the world real soon.
Okay. Well, you know, you gotta come back on and send us some of that so while we're on the air, we can also play it.
Yeah. I'm gonna call with that, man. I was listening to everything, you know. I mean, sometimes, you know, it ain't all about money. I know hands on, cause this girl right here, she like my sister, man. I've been like a victim of that producing game, you know. I wanna like try to collect some all the time, and sometimes, yeah, it takes money to get money, but at the same time, when it comes to beats and stuff, you're going to have to stretch yourself out there, let somebody, you know, try out what you got, you know. It probably come to a point where that person, you know, probably have a hit that is probably, you know, considerable for the both of y'all, you know. At the same time, you know, as long as you got your paperwork together and everything, as long as you got the other part within yourself, everything else going to fall in place, man, you know. And that's
exactly
what Diamond been telling me all the time, you know. And now it's time for me to be showing up and just, you know, getting up and just handling my business, because the production game is real large. It's survival of the business. But like, the whole moral story is Drew can put as much work as you need to. If you put in more work, like the lead work and stuff, that's going to be a necessity. I mean, yeah, you can do stuff online and everything. But, I mean, a lot of people don't even much know about computers, you know. So it's the people that really go out there and just do the walking and just handle their business. That's what it's all about. It's just really putting in the work. I mean, it's really no other way to put it.
Because computers ain't going to always get you over. You do have to go out there on feet, you know, and get those flyers out and do it like that. So computers, you know, it gets you there, but it ain't going to always get you over. Not everybody is, you know about these computer systems technology right now.
Right.
But that's one of the producers.
Huh?
We didn't catch his name.
My name is KOT, man. I'm actually a member of Thug Mafia also. Just behind the scenes right now, trying to get everything together. It's just like what on the subject y'all was talking about. That's why it's like I thought about Diamond, you know. I didn't want to say, you know, I'm going to go on the call. And, you know, it's like, hey, you know, it's a lot of stuff to make it. Thug Mafia, Young Rich Thug, got that. Diamond Entertainment, Diva Squad, you know, check all that out on Facebook. She gives information later on. I feel she would, you know. And, hey.
For sure. You definitely going to check it out.
All righty. Thanks for the plug, KLT.
All right, go on, check it easy. I'm about to get back to my studio session because I'm recording right now as we speak. And I will go and holler at y'all another time.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
We have another call on the line for you, Diamond.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yeah. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. What's up?
You want to hear?
Yeah, this Scoopastar, you know.
Yeah, that's my other artist, that Scoopastar from Thug Mafia. Organized Thugging is his project that he's working on.
Okay.
Right. I hear Diamond, you know, I hear saying some pretty powerful things. You know, I was feeling it. Nice selection of questions. But, yeah, you know. Just calling to, you know, show my support.
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all. That's a good thing, though. That goes to show how strong our team is, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, she's a very hard worker, you know, like it kind of didn't went, like, past just the promoting and, you know, being a promoter, you know, she'll go out there and make it happen. Like, for instance, we had the video with our Gutter. I was single, Shining. And, you know, we was having, like, some difficulties with, you know, with the videographer as far as, you know, getting it done and getting it finished. So, you know, Diamond kind of took it upon herself to say, okay, let's get this program, let's get this footage, let's learn how to edit this video, and let's put this video out, So, you know, Diamond is a very hard worker. You know, she really takes her job serious and can get out there and make things happen. And then, you know, as far as, you know, meeting people and, you know, being social, you know, she get out there and do that too. So, you know, at first I felt like I was bringing her connections, and now, you know, she's bringing me connections and, you know, major artists and all kind of stuff. So, you know, it's good. You know,
exactly.
I want to give my homage and my love to Diamond because, you know, she do work hard and she do her thing. So, you know, I got to let that be known. She's a very hard worker.
Thank you.
Supposed to be. Yeah. So, you know, y'all check out that Young Rich and Thuggin. You know, follow the Diamond ENT and the Diva Squad movement, you know. So she ain't just doing music, you know, she's doing the model thing too. So, you know, it's a big powerful movement going on right now.
We're gonna get into all that.
Yeah, so I just wanna call it. Okay, I just wanted to call and say, Diamond, I commend you. You know, keep working hard. You're doing your thing, and I love it. Let's get it.
All righty, thanks.
All right, for sure.
All right.
Diamond, I hope we get to the rest of the interview. You have another call on the line. I'm going to bring no more. I like to get the callers, you know, first, know, let them hear what they got to say.
Okay,
we have another call on the line for you. We're going to bring no more. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, caller, are you there? KLT, are you there? Oh, we lost KLT, but we have another caller. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah. Hello?
All right.
What's going on?
You on the air? You have Diamond on the air, CEO of Diamond Entertainment.
Yeah, what's up, man? It's DJ Fire.
Hey, what's going on?
What's the deal?
This is actually one of the hottest DJs in Houston, Texas. This is DJ Fire, and he does everything from mixtape hosting to clubs to he can travel to your city. He's probably top five DJs in Houston right now.
Wow. Okay, so you're definitely doing it.
Oh, yeah, man. We get it in, man. I just got on here to show a little love, bro. You know, just say she a hard worker, man. Everything she's spitting through. I've been knowing her for a minute, so, you know, just trying to show a little love. That's all, man.
Thank you.
Ain't no thing, man. Be easy. Yeah, we got a couple of big things going down here in Houston, man. I'm going to see if I'm going to get with on that. You got to do a squad movement, man. Y'all support that because it's something you need to get behind.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm definitely going to support that. Ain't no question about it.
All right, okay. Thank you. All righty.
All right.
All right.
Yes. Everybody is calling in. Oh, girl. Okay.
Call for you. Hello. Call,
okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You have Diamond, Don Diva on the line. I mean, Diamond Entertainment.
And Diva Squad.
Deepest
spot, yeah. I'm so always. I'm sitting here listening. I'm listening to what he's saying. I'm like, But yeah, wow. I just want to say that I think it is wonderful how you know, being a woman and you are doing such powerful things. So I just want to definitely commend you, you know, on that.
Thank you. Who is this?
This is Kim.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm a faithful listener of GQ Palace Radio, and I'm always following them, so I just wanted to see exactly how everything was going on tonight, and I'm interested. You know, I was waiting to hear about the modeling. You know, I'm curious.
Well, we're going to get into that.
You know, if you recruit models that's out of Texas as well.
I do actually deal with models out of Texas. If you add us on Facebook at Diva Squad on Facebook, then we can hit you up and tell you about that.
Okay, definitely. I will definitely send over the information. Thank you.
Alrighty, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have a little break going on right now, Diamond.
Okay.
Now,
Have you ever been in a conflict with an artist you was managing and a show was canceled? And if you haven't, how would you deal with a situation like that? How would you deal with that?
I haven't been at a point where a show has gotten canceled. But if a show was to get canceled, you know how to deal with that is you pick up and you make some more money come through that replaces the money you lost. So if a show is canceled, okay, I'm on the phone trying to sell about 10 verses.
Okay.
You something got to make up because that means I lost and they lost. So that means I need to make up. I need to sell 10 verses and double my money that I would have made on the show or even triple or whatever the case may be, depending on who the artist is and whatever the prices go for. But, I never get into conflict with none of my team, none of my artists because of the fact that we built a friendship. So we're so close as friends, and you know it's business when it's business, but it's also personal. We hang out, we go to family events together, we support each other on personal things. I hang with my artists on personal time, business time, all the time. So it's like we don't get into conflict.
Okay, well, you know, that's definitely a good thing, because you know some artists they do attend, so you know, like feel like they doing as much as the manager or the promoter, so they feel like, you know, like, well, I'm going to do this way, so you got to listen to how I say this, say that.
Oh, that wouldn't happen with me, because if that's the case, then why you hire me? What's the point of hiring me to do something that you feel like you can do yourself, but 9 times out of 10, them labels don't want to talk to no rapper. Them labels and them A&Rs and the club promoters and the people that's booking you don't want to deal with no artists because they already know how artists act. So they want to deal with a business person. They want to deal with a manager. So if you feel like you know it and you feel like you can do it and your way is better than mine, then go have at it. And then, you know, you might come back. You might, your way might work. I might be wrong and your way might work, or your way might not work and you come back and knock on my door again.
Exactly. I definitely feel you on that one. Now, let's talk about Diva Squad. That's your mind.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Diva Squad. Well, Diva Squad was started in 2009, and it was an idea I came up with because I was at Texas. I went to college called Texas Southern University. Not sure if anybody knows about TSU, but I went to TSU and me and my 3 homegirls that always hung out in the business school, because we were all studying business management. So we were like the management divas. So we was just like, okay, let's do Diva Squad. Let's come up with something called Diva Squad. But none of them wanted to really model except one. So I was like, yeah, let's take this and make this into this big modeling agency and modeling management thing, and then it go right under Diamond Entertainment, and we can make it happen and make it a big thing. And so I ended up growing it out. I ended up branching out, reaching different models and bringing on models, and I would meet models at video shoots and say, hey, you need a manager? You need somebody to help you with your career? Let me help you out. So I ended up, you know, getting my team together, and I ended up building a strong team, and my friends that I started with in college, you know, supported me 100% of the way. So it was nothing that, you know, could stop me because they supported it, but they didn't want anything to do with it. Because I was like, okay, we did this quite together. So it'll be 33 and a third. They was like, nah, that's 100% you, because we ain't trying to get in the entertainment business. We trying to be managers at other corporations and stuff. I was like, okay, cool.
Okay. I have some more questions for you, but we have another caller on the line, so we're going to bring that caller on. All right?
Okay. All righty.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, oh, wow.
Yeah,
I know that
voice.
You
already know the voice.
How you doing, Charmin, baby? I just had to call in and let you know I salute you, and you already know I salute you. You are a woman of your word. You make things happen, and I love the fact that you have a voice for us. For those that don't, And please, let's stress how these artists need to have their budget together to book us models now. We don't work for free.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, now tell them who you are.
I'm Miss Certified Nina Ross. I'm a model, actress. I do some of everything. I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty till I say, you know, I love the music industry, and I support Diamond 1,000%. And anything that she's doing, I support her 1,000% because I know that she's one of the ones that follow through on everything that she has going on. I have nothing but good to say about her, and I salute her for that because not too many people can handle that. Not even men can handle that. For a woman to be able to handle all the things that she's handling, it's a lot, and I commend you, baby.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. I had to call in. I was like, let me call in for my girl. And I said I was going to do it. I try to be a woman of my word, and that's what I'm doing.
All right, thank you so much.
No problem, honey. You keep doing your thing, baby.
Thank you.
Oh. All righty.
All right. Now, Diamond, let me ask you.
Uh-huh.
How do you go about getting your models?
Wow. How do I go about getting them? Normally, they just fall in my lap. To be honest, they normally fall in my lap. They approach me. I've never, but three times approached models. They normally find me, and then they find me and bring others.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's no criteria for the models at all. The models, as long as, you know what I'm saying, you got the drive, mm-hmm. you got the ambition and the hustle, and your hustle is just like mine, then we can work. We can be on the team together.
Okay. Now, you're a manager and promoter, a publisher, CEO for Diamond Entertainment, that also does public relations. You're the CEO of Diva Squad. How do you balance all that out?
How do I balance it? I think I balance it because I have a strong team, and first and foremost, my faith in God. So God helps me get everything through, and I balance it, and I stand on faith. So I make everything work out for the good, and if it ever gets too hard, I got somebody that's a phone call away, whether it's Tisha Starr, Scooper Starr, Nina Ross, Center Starr, AJ, DL, anybody. I got somebody that's a phone call away that I can say, you know what, I need you to do this real quick, and then it's going to get done.
Okay, so that's good, because that means you have that strong team right there that's going to back you up 100%.
Yeah,
no,
1,000,000%. No matter what it is.
Now, Diva Squad is more than managing models. It's also a promotional company for artists that plan events, do music videos, marketing plans, and more. Was this something that you had planned like this, or did you gradually bring each event onto the table?
Well, actually, I just gradually brought each event to the table. I did not plan on doing everything. I just actually planned on Diva Squad being just the promotion and the model management, because it goes hand in hand with each other, because the artists that come to me for promotion definitely shoot videos and need models, so they go hand in hand. That's why that all fell under the Diva Squad side of the business, but everything else just kind of came. People was asking me, I need an event. Can you help me? Can you do this? And so I added that to the table. And then people was like, well, I need a marketing plan. I need this, that, and the other done. So that got added to the table. People started looking for studios and different things like that. So I started being the person that you can be a one-stop shop in this entertainment world. Anything you ever need, you can call me and I got it. And if I don't have it, somebody within my inner circle can do it.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Let's get back to the managing for a minute. You manage DL from the movie King of Paper Chasing, Thug Mafia,
uh-huh.
who was just on,
MCC Bill, you know, a couple of others. You know, you're dealing with DJ Fire, you know, Scoop a Star. What was that like, and how did you manage to interact with all of them to get them onto your team?
Wow. Well, okay, I'll start with DL, because that was the first name you mentioned. DL, actually, I had been a fan of the movie King of Paper Tape, and I watched it all the time, literally. And my friend Nina Ross, that just got off, she was actually communicating with them, and DL was like, I need a manager. So she pumped me up, and then DL called me, and we talked, we handled it, and the rest is history.
Okay.
As far as him, as far as Scoop a Star came kind of funny, because KOT, the guy, the producer you heard earlier, KOT, actually, I've been on KOT since 04. Well, actually, yeah, since about 04 when I started, and KOT always brought up, I'm in a group, Thug Mafia. You know Thug Mafia. Scoop a Star was on 18 Screw Tapes, and Scoop a Star used to be with Lil Troy and all them. And he had me crying. I'm like, wait, Lil Troy want to be a baller. And Scoop, DJ Screw, that's the biggest name in the South. So I'm like, who is this? So I met Scoop. I actually met Scoop a Star's little brother, and me and Scoop a Star's little brother became really good friends. And then his brother was like, "Yeah, my brother's Scoop, man." And everybody just kept pumping up Scoop, and they was not even pumping up Thug Mafia. It was funny, and I'm like, "That's the group," but they was pumping up Scoop so much that I ended up being really good friends with Scoop. So I actually can now call Scoop like my best friend. But yeah, that's how I met him, and then he was like, you doing good. You want to manage Thug Mafia? Because at that time, when I met him, I was like, I need a new client. I need to do something. So I started getting them gigs and interviews and everything. And they was like, yeah, that's our new manager. And it's just filling my lap. And then Willie and the Body Boys from the Screwed Up Clique, Willie saw me on the internet just grinding and grinding. And he's like, who are you? And I was like, Diamond. He was like, well, actually, at that time, they weren't calling me Diamond. They was calling me Red. So I was like, he was like, what are you doing? And I told him everything. He was like, yeah, you're my manager. And I'm like, wait, how am I just your manager? And actually, Will Lynn was the first guy that actually took a chance on me. So it was a good thing, because he's from the legendary Botany Boys, and that group is 20 years old in Texas. So that group goes all the way back to, like, 89. So it's just like, wow. And everybody respects that group. So for me to work with that guy and that group and to be around those people, it just meant a lot. And then that opened up doors, and then being around Scoop a Star opened up doors to the Young Money, because his, you know, one of his closest friends is Gutter Gutter from Young Money. So that opened up the Young Money doors, and then the Freak Four Monopoly doors started opening. So everything is opening, and to reach to C. Bill, me and C. Bill went to college together, and C. Bill had always been trying to do this party promotion and MCing. So C. Bill just, you know, kind of, yeah, you want to be my manager? I've been waiting. I've been waiting because you've been managing everybody else. I've been waiting on my time. So I'm like, dang. And it's funny you said that they claimed me, because somebody today, I called one of my friends today. He's a rapper, videographer, whatever. I don't want to name who he is. But he, you know, I had called him on three-way with somebody to handle some business. This dude was like, that's my manager right there. When did I become your manager? It's just like they claim me because they see my drive and my passion.
Okay. Would you say managing an actor and an entertainer is somewhat the same or totally different?
It's actually the same. The only difference with it is you go to casting calls instead of booking shows. That's it. You can promote them the same way.
Now, let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
You also are an entrepreneur that help people become financially free. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I do. In my other life, should I say, I actually teach people how to make money on the side of what they currently are doing. If they work a 9-to-5, if they want to start their own business or anything like that, every Tuesdays and Thursdays out the week, I actually sit down with people and I actually show them proven concepts and plans and opportunities that I'm a part of that they can join and become a part of to actually earn extra income. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If you had the chance to choose one, only one, out of everything you're doing, which one would it be and why?
God, I can't choose one.
Okay,
I really
give you
can't.
Two then. I'll give you two then.
Two? No, I can't choose.
Well,
okay,
you're doing
okay.
So much, I can't give you everything.
Okay. If it was the last two things that I could do, and I couldn't do nothing else, I would do management and the helping people earn extra income. I think that would be the two things. If I was stuck with just two, that would be the two. Because me being an entrepreneur and helping others and knowing that the recession is in the shape that it's in and people need to stimulate the economy and their income, that motivates me. So that would work. And then being a manager to artists and models, I mean, that's still helping people. That's still helping people taking their careers to the next level and living out their dreams. People, everybody, and to say this, everybody that I work with on a personal tip as far as, like, their personal manager or business manager or whatever, they all want to be platinum. They don't want to be nothing less than double platinum. Like, if you sit and talk to DL, DL will tell you he wants to be double platinum. Scooperstar will tell you he wants to be triple platinum, double platinum. KOT wants to be a platinum producer. MCC Bill wants to be the next Lala Vasquez or any big MC or presenter in the business right now. Everybody wants to do it. Thug Mafia wants to be that next Outkast. Everybody that I work with is hungry.
So everybody got a plan. They hungry, so they definitely going for it. And that's the good thing about it. We have another caller on the line for you. We're going to bring them on.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
How you doing? It's on Skeet Young Port. I just was showing love to Diamond.
Thanks. Thank you for calling in.
No problem.
All right, so that's Skeeta. So Skeeta's part of Diamond Entertainment.
No,
he's just calling and showing up.
Yeah, he's just calling and showing up. I guess it's somebody based off of Facebook or something just calling and showing up. That's a good look, though. I'm glad.
I'm glad
people are really
checking
out and tuning in, right?
Yeah, you got such a big team running right now. I'm like, you know?
Yeah.
Ain't
nothing wrong with it. Do you have something you
want to
ask Diamond
Skeeta? I really ain't got nothing to really ask. I know I'm looking forward to try to do some business with the beginning of next year.
Oh, okay. So that's definitely a good look.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. Let me know.
Yeah, we already spoke on Facebook, though. I was the one that tagged you in it recently. I'm a poet and an author and a spoken word artist.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Well, keep me updated and let me know.
Most definitely.
All
righty. Thanks.
No problem.
Hey, he's not part, but he's trying to get in there. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That be sound like I got a connection going on right now.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, if I was to run into a friend of yours and ask him or her about you, what do you believe they might say?
See, that I don't know, because every friend is going to say something different.
Mm-hmm.
every friend is going to say something different. You ask my childhood friends, you're going to say that I'm quiet and reserved. If you ask somebody else, they're going to say I'm outspoken and just full of life. And, you know, it's just every friend has a different experience with me for some reason.
But
they
all—they
all know me, though. Huh?
Okay, and it'll be all good comments, man. You know.
Yeah. If you're gonna be my friend, you gotta have something good to say, right? You can't be my friend
exactly.
and have some haters.
Exactly.
My haters might say something different. You know what I'm saying? But who cares what a hater say?
Exactly. You know, haters make you motivators. That's the way it goes. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly how it goes. That's how I see it.
Exactly.
Now, how do your family feel knowing you're doing so much with yourself at this time? I mean, you're doing so much. You have time. How do you get around everything, you know? How do your family feel? Because I know it's got to be tiring. You know, you got to go home and, you know, how do your family feel about that?
They support it. I mean, they can't feel any negative things about it because it's what I want to do. And it's something that I love. So they definitely support it 1,000,000%.
Mm. Okay. In three words, describe Donnie for me.
Three words. Motivating. Enthusiastic and outspoken.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay, I like how you summed that up. Motivated, enthusiastic, outspoken. I like how you summed it up. Where do you see Diamond 3 years from now?
3 years from now, I plan on being the next Missy Elliott, if that makes sense.
Okay. It makes sense. You can be what you want to be as long as you keep doing what you're doing. So I think it makes
right.
sense as long as you got the plan for it and you're going to back it up with yourself. Because believe it or not, can't nobody do nothing the way you do it for yourself, regardless of
right.
the fact. You know, you have a strong, supportive team and all that. But still, you know, you got that team. They're there to help you. But still, nobody's going to do nothing the way, you know, you do it for yourself. Just like, the rappers, you know, like the DJs, ain't nobody going to do nothing the way they do it, they sell. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you, Diamond, it was an honor having you on. What I want you to do is give everybody that's listening right now, because the lines is on fire, give them your information, all your information, everything. If you got events coming up, give them that. Let them know everything.
Definitely, if you're in Houston, September 21st, I'm doing my big 28th birthday bash, third annual celebrity birthday bash, which is going to be hosted by Diva Squad Models, of course, Scoop Star, Scooby of the Grid Boys, Go DJ Fire, Surreal from the Swisher House, which is one of the hardest females to ever touch the microphone, and Mr. Wide Up, and a host of others that will be hosting the event for my birthday bash, which is the third annual celebrity bash. It'll be at Midtown Lounge, which is right before you get to downtown Houston. So it's definitely going to be a big event for that. If you want to contact Diamond Entertainment or Diva Squad to do business, for Diamond Entertainment, please contact 713-487-9801. For Diva Squad is 832-303-DIVA. You can check us out on Facebook.com/Diamond ENT, Twitter.com/Diamond ENT, Facebook.com/Diva Squad or Diva Squad Models, or you can go to @Diva_Squad or @Diva_Models on Twitter. You can also follow everything that I have going on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's @DiamondENTCEO. Everything like that.
You're definitely doing a lot. And I definitely
honor you.
That's what I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now. I want you to give all your shout-outs.
Oh, I'm
jumping
the gun, right? Did I got,
yeah,
let me tell you, I got
all your
shit.
Shout-outs. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, I want to first give a big shout-out to my team, Michael Sterling and Carl. They are movie producers and directors based in Houston, who just shot this wonderful movie called Behind the Pole, which includes Omar Gooding Jr., which is Cuba Gooding Jr.'s brother. Omar is known for Smart Guy, Baby Boy, characters like that. Samuel Monroe Jr., who is Caffeine from Players Club, Men's Society, different movies. DeAndre Barnes, you might know him. He's been in a lot of movies. You also have Bella G, Destiny Pole, Victoria Monet, Scenic Woods, all in this movie. Also, Superstar and my model Kiosha is in the movie. It is a wonderful movie. It's about the life of four strippers who are living their life outside of the strip club. It's not based on their life in the club. It's outside the club. One going through relationship problems, one going through record label issues, one going through this, that, and the other. The soundtrack is amazing. The movie comes out real soon. Different companies are looking to pick it up. So y'all be on the lookout. Y'all can go to Facebook and search Behind the Pole or look up Michael Sterling or Sterling Sink on Facebook, and you'll find everything about it. Shout out to Scooby or the Grit Boys. I do all of his PR. So if you ever need to get in touch with Scooby or the Grit Boys or any Grit Boy, you can call me and I can definitely set that up. Grit Boys is working on a new album. Scooby or the Grit Boys just dropped D. Coleman 1.5. D. Coleman 2 is coming soon. Shout out to Gutter Gutter YMCNB. That's the big brother. He's working on Gutterville 3. And a bunch of other projects. Willing of the Botany Boys is working on a new album. Shout out to MCC Bill. If you ever need a hot MC or a hot host for your event, your red carpet or anything like that, definitely get in touch with me about that. Shout out to DL from the King of Paper Chasing movie. He's working on a new album. You can also go to Reverb Nation / DL Triple Beam or go to Facebook and search King of Paper Chasing. You can go to SoundCloud.com/GL_TripleBeam. Get all his music. Check him out. Be on the lookout for him. We have a tour coming soon with DL. DL is going to be hitting the road, covering all 50 states. It's going to be nice. Be on the lookout for King of Paper Chasing 2 and the TV series King of Paper Chasing coming real soon. Welcome home, Tulo from Thug Mafia. Tulo is Scarface's little brother, and Tulo was from Rap-A-Lot. Welcome home, Tulo just got out. Also, welcome home, Rajo. Rajo just got out. Shout out to Scooperstar. Organized Thuggin' coming soon. Thug Mafia, Youngerton Thuggin' is coming at the end of the month. Free Dudella from Thug Mafia, TMI Boys. We miss you, Dudella. November can't come fast enough. shout out to the whole Diva Squad. Shout out to the VP, Tisha Starr. Shout out to Nina Rose. Shout out to my Brick Squad Monopoly fam, DJ Ace. We got the mixtape for DJ Ace. We got the Frenchie mixtape coming soon. Shout out to the Loke from Hoodstar ENT. Shout out to QC, super producer in California. I'm almost done. Shout out to my team in Florida, the Sucker Proof DJs. The Sucker Proof DJs are doing their thing. Nick G and Motai, CEO and co-CEO of Sucker Proof. Shout out to y'all. Y'all always support. Shout out to Surreal, the first lady of Swisher House, Mr. Wilder, Boss Lady J, the whole TRP, Go DJ Fire, Go DJ 13.8, Go DJ Hollygrove, and just shout out to H-Town, everybody that's tuned in and supporting Dominant Entertainment. Again, my number is 713-487-9801. I only use it for business. nothing personal. I got features from everybody, from Scooperstar to anybody in the game you need features from. Shout out to Sam Hoodie. Shout out to everybody that's listening right now, everybody that's supporting. Shout out to Kiosha, Jasmine, Layla, Michelle, all of the models at Diva Squad that keep it together, Kiara, and everybody. And shout out to you. Shout out to you for having me on the show. Shout out to your whole team for y'all been interacting and everything. So,
you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. You know, because we definitely got to hear some of those artists that you got going on also. You know, the producers and all that. So, you know, when you're ready to come back, you come back, do another interview, and play some of those tracks that you got going on.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, and speaking of tracks, before we go, I want y'all to Google Thug Mafia featuring Gutta Gutta Shining, and also Google DL and maybe DL Triple Beam or Triple Beam Entertainment. Go check out his website. Also Google Scooby at the Grit Boys. Rest in peace, Hawk. The new Hawk album is coming soon. Hawk from the SUC is coming with a new album, and Grit Boys is one of the executive producers on it, so it's going to be big.
I don't doubt it either. I definitely don't doubt it. It sounds like it's going to be big, for sure.
Yes.
Diamond, I really want to thank you once again. And like I said, you are welcome back. Any time is never a problem.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day and enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, you too. Diamond, CEO of Diamond Entertainment and Diva Squad, Dons and Diva. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. I also want y'all to go check out L.A. Sunshine Meanwhile, A True Story. It's crazy. He's talking. He's letting y'all know what's going on. L.A. Sunshine from The Treacherous 3 with Kumo D, you know, Special K, was with Stoney G, all of us together at one time. Make sure you go check that out. Go to the link, www.thehiphopmemoir, and check out his book, A True Story. Don't forget, it's going down on Tuesday night at the Fusion on Boston Road, $2 Tuesdays with my man, Boss Goonberg, Black Silk. Don't forget, Swagger Like Us. We got another event coming up on the 29th of September. We're going to let y'all know about that. Y'all know how he do his things. He's definitely doing big things. Don't forget to check out GQ Palace shows on Sunday. We got Spiritual Sunday with host Lavina Polite and Pastor Patricia Hall from 7 to 9 p.m., on Monday, we have Love, Life, and Loyalties with Steph Dallas. Parental discretion is advised for that show from 7 to 9 p.m. On Tuesdays, we have sports with my man, the mayor, and T.C. Holland. They talking sports. They letting y'all know what's going on with football, basketball, whatever sports y'all need to know from 8 to 10 p.m. And on Wednesdays, you got Love Fantasies with my man Picasso playing the hottest slow jams and talking those grown and sexy topics. Don't forget that. Hope to see y'all here next week. I'm the host, Rich Money. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment, where dreams come true.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
Yeah. It's just me and you tonight, and I'm at the point where I never want to share you ever again.
Wake up! You don't know? It's a party over here!
Wake the neighbors up, 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 wake the neighbors up
Rossi Chauncey, snap, snap, better get a capture. Grown flicks for you little young whippersnappers. Picture me broke, but I never caught a fracture. First money, then a party, then a telly after. Rosé and some sour keep me hyperactive. Lights off, you can see me with the lightest actress. Long hair, don't care what the nicest. Buy her a Yogi Bear mink and an ice a basket. But they gotta come in twos. Alligators done his razor bumps on my shoes. Cameras on deck, we the center of attention. Why your VIP room looks smaller than your kitchen? Sean City Mafia, we walk around security. Say I'm full of, cause my chain full of jewelry. Cases of the ace and it's sitting on silent ice. Chauncey snap, snap, TV, man, we got him live. Was on you, second one is on me. Party over here and the seats is on E. Gucci to my toes, so I keep it OG. Said the party's over here and the ladies in free. Louis V bags, hair done, getting ready. One night stand with the balls and spaghetti. Cuckoo for the noodle, I shiv, she let me. But she heard me in TV about the bubble like Pepsi. Blicky on deck, millions on the set. Millions of the checks keep chameleons on my neck. Shorts camouflage, she know that I'm a boss. I'm Michael Jordan shot caller, none of them is off. Attracting to the vixens and all of them is off. I'm sneezing out the money and none of y'all can call. Can't believe the train station doors on a new range. Party over here, let me show you how I do things.
If you're getting money, keep stacking up. Cop some new shoes, cop some new juice. We gon' party all night and we gon' do what we do. Everything I can say makes me more insane. I'm so out of your range, so stay out of my way. Multiple tactics, tricks up my sleeve, you little bastard. I'm getting money, so I'm up in the lab. Multiple gadgets.